We're going to read the Word of God today. But today we're going to preach on the subject, the Christian state of being still. The Christian state of being still. Basically what I've done, I've looked at different subjects in the Bible where God told His servants to be something. And hopefully these will be things that will help you in your Christian life so that you'll be what God wants you to be, even up to, until the time when Jesus Christ comes back. In Psalm 4, in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. I mean, take time and think about that. So we should probably do that. So the Bible said do that. How long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Leasing's falsehood. Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Brother Mark, would you pray for the message today? Just that the Lord lead you. So God will have you do that today.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would bless our pastor now. Listen to the Word of God. I pray that you give him the strength, Father, and the wisdom that he needs to preach his message. I pray that you would bless him with the strength to hear, for it helps us set our minds.
You may be seated. Now, thank you for standing. I would like to look at a few definitions because I'm a little bit slow-minded. Help me think of some things. But the word still, this is a no-brainer now, but it seems to stop as motion or agitation. God sometimes, or more often than not, He wants us to just to don't move, to be still. He says to check. It also means to check or restrain. Part of being still is restraining ourselves from doing something that maybe our flesh would cause us to do. A statement the Lord gave me years ago was that Christians are supposed to be people of action and not reaction. If husbands and wives, if we practice that, we'll have a lot less disagreements, amen. If we'll act instead of react, amen. Something may happen that may cause a certain flesh tone to flare up, but if we're prepared in advance to be spiritually minded and to be still, we'll have an action when that happens instead of a reaction. And so the Bible tells us here, as we look at verse 4, he says, to stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. I'm going to look at three simple thoughts today, Lord willing. And the first thing we'll look at is, number one, the preparation to be still. The preparation to be still. In order to follow God's command of being still, it takes some preparation. And, you know, God is looking for, you know what's missing in this generation of Christians? People that just walk with the Lord and continually are rested and rooted in a life that emulates the fruits of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, the faith. You know, from our fundamentalism, we have in our minds so much that we're looking at numbers and things and always trying to do something. That's what we think is the fruit, because that's how we compare ourselves among ourselves. And thank God for the people that come to Christ. We need more. I pray every week that every seat in here will be filled. And even that we pull more out, even if we have to mismatch them, amen. Because there's not enough red ones that will go around and fill this whole room up. Because that's souls that need to come to Jesus Christ, that God would like to be witnesses and lights in this lost and dying world. But in the midst of all the information that we have, all the tools that we have to be able to serve God, all the books on how to have a good Christian life. I just finished reading another one on the spirit-filled life. It was a good book by Paul Chappell, and it was a blessing, and it encouraged me in some ways. But all these tools, but the reality is missing if we just stop and rest most often the things that we already know, we'll be still, and we'll have the joy of the Lord, which is, according to the Word of God, is our strength. Now, three things here in this verse 4, our preparation. The first preparation, one, is simply to stand in awe. I like this one. I mean, you stand in awe. You know? And because we have a God that's awesome. We have a God that's mighty. We have a God that's unchangeable. The Bible tells us that the word awe means to, it means fear mingled with reverence and admiration. You know, and that's why there's that's why there's so much going on today to compete with our minds. You know, if we just stand in awe of the Lord, just thought about Him just for a moment. Now, in Psalm 8, hold your place, we'll be back in just a moment. But in Psalm 8, we see David here, how he came to the conclusion that caused him to stand in awe of God. He said, he started off in verse 1 of Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? He said, you know what, Lord, when I begin to think about the things that your fingers and your hands have made. Now, I was thinking about this, you know, with all the new technology, and praise God for it. You know, you can take a cell phone now, and you can take a cell phone and take a better picture than you used to could take with an expensive camera. And I thought about this, you know, I was thinking about this verse, you know, and I think we were traveling, and I think she used a, one of y'all took a picture of the sunset with the cell phone or something when we were driving on that short run to Missouri. I think it was short-tempered run. I mean, no, just a short run to Missouri. And I thought about this. Now here, we look at this photo. We marvel at this technology that basically this technology allows us to see and reproduce. We can keep and look at something that God, in a moment of time, He spoke and He said, let there be light. Now, 5,000, about 5,000 to 6,000 years later, depending on how you estimate from the time He made that, we marvel at a technology that basically makes a cheap copy of something that God spoke into existence. Do you ever think about that? I mean, thank God for that. I mean, and God is awesome. You know, I mean, the best we can do, it took all these thousands of years to come up with something that just makes a copy that's not as good as the original. I don't know about you, but I love seeing the sunset. I love seeing the sunrise. But there's nothing like being on the water and being there in person when it rises over the boat. I mean, there's something about that that says, that's Him. Amen. And something makes me excited. And the glory of the Lord says, Lord, how in the world can you think about me? You made all those things. And yet, you're mindful of me. Like we talked about earlier. All things are put together for good. Hey, the mistakes that I make this week. If I'm to love God, God will work them to my good. He'll allow me to learn from it and be a better servant of His from it. And if you think about God, and you know, and Satan tried to get us enamored with all these things around us, these tools that God doesn't mind us using for His glory. But if you look at those tools the next time and see that they're just cheap imitations and they're virtually as nothing. I mean, because everything we have today, all the thousands of years and God in His power, He made the things that He made. By Him all things consist. And David, and that's why, you know, that's why evolution is such a dangerous subject, because it tries to rob you of the supernatural belief in the power of God. Because if you just believe, wow, this just all happened, then you look at a cell phone and you look at a computer and you say, wow, look what man can do. And this all just happened. This sun just showed up out of nowhere. Somehow these molecules just got to spinning faster and faster and faster. And boom! And it fell. And all, wow, this is nothing. And all these different things just kind of came into existence. This little microscopic thing just kept mutating. And this accident, and that accident, and this accident, and another accident happened, another accident happened, another accident happened. And all of a sudden, man came to pretend to be. But man, we can make this, we can make that. Hey, come on in, my friend. God bless you. And all these things. And so Satan is trying to dumb us down to look and to glorify man opposed to God. And it's no wonder that when we meet God, And I'm talking when we need Him, when we have a heart that really wants to serve Him and to follow Him and obey Him, that we don't just stand still. Stand in awe. I mean, His fingers. All these thousands of years, they still haven't made a perfect robot yet. You take for granted. Get that Bible page you just turned. God did that. In a day. That's amazing. And yet we look at, well, man makes something that, God, man makes a cheap copy. And wow, that's awesome. No, God is awesome. And David, when he considered the heavens, the work of the thing, the moon. I did that. The moon never loses its glory. There's nothing, no matter, I mean, I'm 43 years old, no matter how many times I go up and I see a full moon, I think, man, that's beautiful. I never forget driving down north, from North Dakota back to Canada. My boys were with me, and it was, the sky was so clear. We drove all through the night. The moon lit up the entire highway. We didn't even need the headlights almost. Like I thought it was exactly, I turned them off a little bit just to see, you know. I only hit one little old lady. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I turned it all, and it was amazing. And I thought, that's Him. That's my Savior. That's the same one that said, call unto me, and I shall answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Thou knowest not. There's a girl upstairs on the cell phone before I came down to church, and I stopped and said, hey, did you know God's cell phone number? She was sitting there. She looked at me. I said, it's Jeremiah 33:3. I said, the Lord said, call unto me, and I shall answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Thou knowest not. I said, you should call Him sometime. I said, God bless you. Sure, sir. Somehow I have that effect on people. I'm such a nice guy, but I don't understand that. But the reality is, when you think about God and He is, and the things when He asks you to do something, when you consider all that He's done, then it's not so difficult to wait on Him. And to be still. And to restrain yourself from taking over your life and being still in the will of God. Isn't it amazing how quick we want to handle something and take care of something instead of just letting God take care of it? So the first preparation to being still is we just have to stand in awe of God. That's one of the reasons we sing songs about God. One of the reasons we praise Him. We lift Him up to a position where we can actually see Him. Because guess what? All throughout the week, everything's lifted up. So much information, so much knowledge is lifted up. You know all this information. You hear all these different things. And you need to praise the Lord. You need to lift up your voice to His power, to His voice thunders, and all these different attributes of God you need to talk about and lift up on a regular basis so that you see Him. David said, I set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved. He set the Lord before Him in a place we could see Him. In the Old Testament, when they talked about the Word of God, they said it should be like frontlets between thine eyes. And I was with a Messianic Jew when I took my administrative training for ACE, and it was talking about in the tradition they had these little boxes. And they take these boxes, and they put little scrolls of the Scriptures in there, and they put them in this box and level the thong around their head, as frontlets between their eyes, to remind them of the Scriptures. Now, unfortunately, it's vain in the way they want to practice the Scripture, but at least they recognize that this is significant. This is important. And you need to set the Lord in a position to where you can really stand in awe of Him, study Him, think on Him, meditate on Him. So stand in awe. Number two, back in Psalm 4. This is very simple. Sounds very simple. It says, sin not. Don't sin. He says, what are you talking about? Well, set the goal, don't sin. God told you, He said, sin not. Now, that doesn't mean you're never going to sin again, but that means you do have a power over sin. If you believe what the Bible said, look at Romans, he that's dead is free from sin. If whosoever, therefore you yield yourself, your service to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, sin is a choice once you belong to Christ. He says, don't. That's where we get the song, yield not to temptation. He says, sin not. Because all it takes, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I never forget, I've talked about the faithful deacons when I church they got saved in. I never forget when they quoted me this verse, Brother Frank. He said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I like that verse when I first heard it. Because you know what? I was doing some things pretty good. But now I was accountable for things I knew to do and wasn't doing them. And guess what? I'm glad he showed it to me. I mean, God convicted my heart. I began to do some things that I knew I was supposed to be doing. And once God revealed that to me, and guess what? I was amazed. It made me stronger. Because the more you sin not, when you pray, your link with God is open. Like, let's see, this dear friend right here. What's your name, sir? Yes, sir. Lee?
Nagy.
Did I say it right? Nagy. I'm so glad to have you here today. I apologize for using my illustration, but I've never met you before, so it's perfect. Now, we're just beginning a relationship. First time we ever met. I'm really glad to have him here. And if I said something harsh to him and didn't made a request from you, if I kicked you in your knee, said, hey, can you give me a ride home later? You're not going to do that, are you? And because I did that offense severed our relationship that very quickly. And because I sinned against him. And when we follow God, when we serve God, when we don't sin, when we actually need something from him. Now, if I kicked him, I probably wouldn't even ask him for a ride home. Because I'm thinking, man, there's no way he's going to help me. And I kicked him and I found out he had a nice car later. You know, or maybe he has fare for TTC. And I thought, what was I doing? Man, I just hurt him. There's no way I could ask him now. And that's the same thing we do with God. Lord, I got this bitterness in my heart. And this, Lord, I said that thing to that person. Lord, you told me to give that track to that person. I didn't do it. You told me to witness that person. I didn't do it. Lord, I smarted off to that person. I want them to know I'm somebody. Lord, I was even better than that. I was lifted up with pride in my heart, and I didn't show anybody. And I held back. I didn't tell them how good I was. I didn't say it. But you offended God. And now you need him because God in his love is trying to draw you into a greater relationship in spite of what you've done. And then you need God's help to get closer and you, Lord, I couldn't ask the Lord now. That's why so many factor prayer lives, because they're just not taking sin very seriously. But when we sin not, and then God still in his grace wants us in his will, trying to place in his perfect will, and even shows us what it is, and we won't sit still in it. Because we can't have his help, because we won't ask for his help, because we built the relationship. Let's hold your place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not. First Corinthians, I hear you turn this on. We'll wait a little longer. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Now he's speaking to the church of Corinth here, of the Christians. He said, awake to righteousness is sin not, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God because they are so wicked and ungodly. He won't turn unto me. Is that what he said? That's not why they don't have knowledge of God, is it? He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He wants us to sin not for the sake of others. You know, and the reason we are unable to sit still in our faithfulness to God, and the reason many times we're overwhelmed by what we call the sin of the earth, sin of the world, so often we glorify the sin that's taking place on the earth. We talk about how bad it is, how miserable it is, how wretched, how sinful it is. And then we're afraid to go out and do anything, go out and preach the gospel that converts sinners. Because we haven't stopped sinning ourselves. We know the good we're supposed to be doing, we don't do it. And we always, we God is graceful to us, but Satan is very subtle. Now, if you've been saved any period of time, don't you always have a good reason for not doing the will of God? I mean, think about it. There's always a good reason. I mean, it's that powerful word, many times it's called tomorrow. Lord, I'm going to give you all my heart tomorrow. Lord, as soon as I get this taken care of, everything is going to be all for you, just for you. You know, Lord, once I get this last paid bill off, I'll tithe every Sunday. You know? Lord, I'll start giving the missions, but you know, I gotta pay my boat off first, whatever it is. There's always a good reason. You never sit there and say, Lord, I just don't want to do what you want to do right now. You never say that to God. Because we have a semblance of spirituality, so Satan deceives us. And we always have a good reason. You know what? I would give my life to Christ today. I would be saved today. But I just don't understand. You've heard the gospel. You know the gospel. You know you're a sinner. You know you couldn't save yourself. You know Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He paid the sin debt. You know he said, call unto me. You know he said in Romans, that you have to confess unto him, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But that's always a good reason. But he says, sin not. Only we can be still. Back to our text here, Saul 4. We'll move a little faster when we get past the preparation. But he says, in order to be still, first of all, you got to stand in awe of God. Because if you don't esteem God, if you don't value God, if you don't really look at him with what you might say the wow factor, I don't know, like, wow, like, Lord, you're amazing. We adjust our lives to things that wow us, you know. We think, man, this is good. I want this, you know. Have we ever looked at God like that? Wow. When you look at a magazine, you see a brand new anything. And you think, wow, I would like to have that. When's the last time you opened your Bible, looked at God, and said, wow, I'd like to have all of God in my life? Where's that awe? Man, where's the last time you looked and, Lord, I'd just like to live totally, completely for you alone. Lord, I'd like to say goodbye to all this stuff and just you, man. Sometimes I think it'd been great to be like the apostle, just walk everywhere and just be with Jesus and just be in the desert and not have a script or a bag and don't have, they didn't have any money to manage. They didn't have to work about anything. They were broke, you know, they just went around and if the Lord said, there's some five loaves, two fishes, hey, well, let's eat with these people. We'll provide everything we need. We'll just walk with God. But you must stand in awe of him. Most of us stand in awe of our problems. Most of us stand in awe of our desires because we want things and we don't know how we're going to get them. So our driving factor is, how do we get what we want out of life? Is it any surprise that we won't sit still? He's looking for whatever it may be. Let the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks. What is it that you're looking for other than just a life completely immersed in God? I like looking for God. I see him, wow, that's him. I think about the piano. You know, if it wouldn't, you know, God and his molecular structure with atoms, and within this thing right now, there's millions of microscopic particles that are spinning so fast. Even within this piano here. And if God reached down and just erupted the pattern, Parkdale would be eradicated. That's how they make atomic bombs. To make an atomic bomb, you changed the natural molecular pattern that God did. And when you change what God naturally intended, there's always some type of problem. That's a simple message for our life. Right? But he says, stand in awe, sin not. Last thing he says, commune with your own heart. And this is where we really have to, this is what really, where it gets down to where the change is made. Because in verse 4, he says, stand off, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, sit off. Because we really like to commune with other people's hearts. We really like to figure out what everybody else is doing, and we either adjust our lives by them, or we make our decisions. We do as much or as little as we think we should based on what somebody else is doing. Instead of getting alone in the closet with God, upon your bed, which is generally a quiet place, that's part of what God used that. And say, Lord, do I stand in awe of you? Lord, am I concerned at all about the sin that's in my life? Or do I just excuse it and continually excuse it? Lord, am I resting in your will for my life? Lord, am I concerned about your will for my life? Or am I just in awe of everything that the world has to offer? See, Satan has just changed his tactics. Remember what he did with Jesus? The Bible says he studied him before and he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a time. Why? He wanted Jesus to stand in awe of the kingdoms of the world. Say, hey, you could have all this if you just bow down. Isn't that what Satan does to you? He shows you all these things out here. Hey, you could just have this if you just bow down. But God says, no, just stand in awe of me and sin not. And see, take some time to commune with your own heart. This is what we might call the invitation part of the service. We just commune and get along with God and say, Father, would you help me to shut out every voice out there except with yours? I was thinking about Elijah, how he was still. Because you know the story, here's Elijah running from God. There's an earthquake. But he knew God. But see, that didn't move him. He knew God was in the earthquake. He just said still. There was a fire, and he knew God wasn't in the fire. And he just sat still. And there was a great wind, and God wasn't in the wind. He just sat still. And here he is running from God. And he says, then there's a still small voice. And that voice said, what doest thou? He got him up, put him back on course. You may be out of the will of God today. Why? You may be in awe of everything the world has to offer. And you remember the day you got saved? Remember the joy you felt? Remember what it was about? It's just all about God. And see, this no idea you study so important. We get bogged, even as Christians with the right doctrine, the right truth, we get bogged down in religion and we lose our first love. We lose our first love and hear all these things before us. As children of God, we've got the Word of God. We've got the Church of God. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. And very seldom do you see a child of God talk about God and just say, why? Amen. God is good. When's the last time you heard it? Somebody's going through all singing about the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in my building, it's almost every other day, but I'm going down the hallway. Who is that crazy guy? Because we live in a building with a bunch of Muslims, you know. So, that crazy Christian guy. But thank God that by His grace, for this moment in time, and I have to qualify that because I get backslidden too. I'm in awe of God. And I'm in awe that even right now, here, Reiner Harper, a sinner, whatever number of people here today, that this miserable sinner, God said, I desire to work through you to help some people today. I desire to work through you to call some children of mine to rest in me, to be still in me. I desire that they'll form some habits in their life this day. We'll never live this up and down roller coaster of life. Well, to God's first today, God's first, not first tomorrow. God is first all the time. Rest, rest. Like Psalm 37 said, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. And then in the storms you'll be still. In the blessings you'll be still. In the problems you'll be still. And you'll just sink. And you'll, because even in the storm, I know as a kid, we just came to all these tornadoes, but I just love nature. I mean, I'm thinking, and I remember all these storms be going on, and my mom said, get away from that window, you know, but it's something about the storm and the rain and the wind, and there's something about me, I just think, when God's doing this, you know. And even those storms, I don't know why, but God knew what He's going to do with me. I mean, I wouldn't really be afraid, and sometimes, now children, don't try this at home. when when my mother wouldn't, I would slip outside, and that wind would be going. You know, it's tornado season. You just kind of run around outside, and just the rain, and you just feel it all, and just wow, and the breeze would be so cool going up in the heat of Texas, and you're like, wow. So feel the breath of God and that breeze and the power of the wind. And now more than ever, I know that was Him. That was Him. And so when my soul wants to flee, like Psalm 11 says, why say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? No, I just say, no, I'm going to be still. Lord, I know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to rest in your will. So, but you have to commune with your own heart. Where are you at today with Christ? Is everything awesome in your life except with God? Because God, would you just have to slip in today at the last minute? Or what's He's like, wow, this is what I'm here for. This is what I exist for. I'll be able to finish this with. Let's pray just for a minute so I decide going further. Heavenly Father, I just want your perfect will to take place today. Lord, I sense by the Holy Ghost that right now we're at a hurdle that really needs to be crossed before any other information really can be added. Lord, and I have to be honest with you, Father, I'm for this moment, I'm really at a loss what to do. Because I love the study of your word. I love the things that you showed me through the study. And Lord, I would like to finish with Father, but I'd rather obey you. So Father, could you please give me some direction? Because you know the needs of these people more than I do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Open over to John chapter 20. I'm going to read just a few verses and we'll be done. In John chapter 20, in John 20, in verse 19, the Word of God says this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Thank God they were in the meeting. They got to receive the Holy Ghost because they were at the meeting. Whosoever sins, verse 23, ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came, because he wasn't assembled. He didn't get the breath of the Holy Ghost either. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. I think we're at the point already, like I said, I just feel like where we're at is that God is awesome. God is the creator of the universe. God created light. God made you. God loves you in spite of your sin. Now Jesus Christ is down on the cross for your sins. And He'd like you to trust Him. He'd like you to stand in awe of Him. But at this point, it's just like Thomas here, except I see His hands and the print of my nails. And unless I get further evidence, I will not believe. But Jesus has given me all the evidence through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God. And He's going to leave the invitation with you like this. In verse 26, and after 8 days, again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. Right now, with a number of people, just judging by the amount of time, I know many of you have been underneath the scriptures, wherever you served at. I really believe the Holy Spirit God is already trying to confirm something He's doing in your heart. And I believe this is the second look like Thomas got. When Jesus asked him to reach hither his finger, I think God is just speaking to you this simple message. Be not faithless, but believing. Some of you need to believe the first time under salvation. Some of you have heard the gospel before. And you know God loves you. And you know God died for you. You know you're separated from God. And He says to you, be not faithless, but believing. And He loves you so much. And He simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You simply have to turn from your way to the way, which is Jesus Christ, and God will save you. For the children of God that are here right now, this is not a new subject. We know we have idols that we set up. We know we have things that we are in awe of, more than we're in awe of God. And God would say, be not faithless, but believing. You know, there's sin, possibly, in this room that we foster, that we, even the things that we know to do good, and we just don't do it, and we have excused it away. And God said, be not faithless, but believing. Because until we take, the Bible says the steps of a good man order of the Lord. And life really is like climbing steps, you know. And you really have to take a step to get higher. You can try to skip a step if you want to. But you still have to step. And you can take a long step, you can take a short step, but you're never getting higher if you don't take a step. And I believe, with all my heart, by the Holy Spirit of God, He's ordered the steps that's been presented today. And I would ask you to be not faithless, but believing. Apparently, there's somebody here wavering in their commitment, their life commitment in their heart to God. And God says, you be still. And He said, be not faithless, but believing. If you're here today, like I said, you don't know Christ as Savior, God would say to be still and trust the gospel message. Stop running. Stop trying to figure out what you're going to experience next. And then when your way totally fails, don't be still. Believe on Christ right now. You know. And the great thing about Bible preaching is that no matter what said the Holy Spirit of God, gives you an undeniable invitation right now. To where if you're a child of God, you know what you've heard. You've heard the things I've said, but you know what you heard from Him if you're a child of God. And He said, be not faithless, but believing. And even if you're lost and separated from God, you've never trusted your life to Christ, you know that the Holy Spirit of God says something to you. I need that. I need that. But yet there's a voice competing with that and giving you an excuse not to give your life to Christ this very moment. So we're not even going to pray again. I encourage you to be not faithless, but believing. If you need to come to Christ, Christian, I encourage a Christian to start praying and seeking the Lord. And whatever God's speaking to you about, would you please obey Him? And not grieve the Holy Spirit.
And then for those that have never been saved, I'm going to encourage you just to come forward, and I'll meet you right here, and I'll share with a friend of the Bible how to be born again. And some of you already know, you just need to humble yourself and give your life to Christ. You're among people that love you. I don't know how you could allow Satan to deceive you, to be fearful of just admitting what every person already knows about you, is that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. Because we all walked that road before. So, children of God, if you heard God's voice, talk to Him about it. Because it's between you and Him. Commune with your own heart, as the verse says. Let God do the work that He wants to do. And if you're without Christ, would you be saved? This is your time to spend with God. Do it. Do as you see fit.